Today we got the blues, and we're going to be sharing those blues with you through one of the blues greats. His name is Billy Lee Riley. He was born to a sharecropper's family at the end of the Great Depression. His career has spanned 5 decades, and he has made his mark in each one of those decades. Thank you, Billy Lee, for joining me today on Like It Is.
Thank you, Bob. It's a great pleasure to be here. I've always wanted to come down and talk with you guys, but it's just things have happened, and I just never got here. But I am so pleased that you asked me to come down this time.
Thank you for coming. Let's talk about your career. Let's go back. Tell me, how did your career get started, and what have been some of the career highlights and maybe some of the lowlights?
Well, my professional career started in 1956 when I recorded my first record in Memphis at a garage studio. And the producer was Jack Clemmons at the time, and what I recorded was actually, one side was a blues type song and the other side was a country song, because he was a country producer. So when he finished the session, he took it over to Sam Phillips at Sun Studios in Memphis to make a master. And Sam liked the blues side and told Jack, said, if you'll cut me something else to go on the other side and get that country song off of there, he said, I might be interested in releasing this. So we went back in the studio, and I wrote a song right quick, and we cut it, called Rock With Me, Baby. And therefore, I got a contract with Sam Phillips in 1956.
Billy Lee, we should let our listeners know, Billy Lee was born in Pocahontas, Arkansas. He currently lives in Newport, Arkansas. But Billy, talk about the blues, the evolution of the blues. Talk about the early blues sounds that you heard and how those sounds have integrated and picked up a little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of a country and so forth.
Well, when I first was introduced to blues, I was about 5 or 6 years old. I was living on what had once been a plantation in Osceola, Arkansas. It was a place called Jacksonville, and it was a long row of little shotgun houses, and they were all painted red, so it picked up the name Red Row. And, of course, there were black families and white families living there. As a matter of fact, my neighbors on both sides were black families, and they had children my age, and so they also had musicians in their families. And so, therefore, I sort of leaned toward that because I loved that music they were playing. I didn't know what it was, but I knew one thing, that it was doing something to me even as a child. And so I started playing harmonica at the age of 6 and started joining in with some of these guys. You know, I wasn't playing great, but, you know, they let me in. But I had a little friend that was the same age as me. His name was Josh, and he lived a couple of doors down from me. And he and I would go to town. Like in Osceola, our families on weekends, we'd all go to town, you know, maybe once a month. And Josh and I would slip off, and we'd go down to the side. Back in those days, I'm sure you're well aware that the segregation, it was one side of town was black and one side was white. Well, he was my little black friend, so he and I always wound up on the side where it was more interesting. There was a lot of music there, you know, and he and I would sit around on that side of town and listen to all these blues coming out of these juke joints and now the jukeboxes, also people playing on the streets, you know. And that's where I was really introduced to the kind of music that I love, man, is blues. And it's part of me, and it always has been.
You know, oftentimes listeners will associate hard times with the blues, Depression-era blues. Was it really that tough in terms of growing up, Bob, and listening to the music that we call blues?
Bob, it's like B.B. King said one time. I've never forgot what he said. Someone asked him in an interview one time. He said, B.B., do you really have to be poor to sing the blues? B.B. thought a while, and he said, no, you don't really have to, but it sure does help a lot. Now, that's the way it is, because we were raised up at a time when food was not, I mean, it was like something that you didn't have all the time. I mean, we went sometimes 2 or 3 days without anything, you know, and we didn't have clothes. We didn't have anything. We were just like very, very, very poor. And so that helps a whole lot when you start singing about your life and singing about growing up. You know, that all comes within the realm of what you're talking about. And that's how the old blues guys that I remember back on the plantations in Forest City, they would sit on the front porches or on the back porches, under shade trees. That's, as a matter of fact, that's where I got the name Shade Tree Blues, because I remembered some of it. But they would sit there and they would sing, and it wasn't written songs. It was songs they were just singing about their feelings, about how they felt and how they were living. And that's what blues is all about. Blues is not a produced thing. Blues is not something you can sit down and think about and say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sing some blues, and I'm going to sit and think about it. You don't do that. You just, it's just part of your soul, and you just have to turn it up.
That's the point I wanted to ask you. Is blues, are the blues, is that music that's coming from the inner, the deep within the inner self, the soul?
In my opinion, that is the only place it can come from. And that's why I call the blues honest music. It's the only honest music that I know of. All the other music is produced. It's just like you almost have to be a poet or a literary student or something in order to write song. But now the blues is just something that you just, it just comes, man. You just sit there and you just sing it, and you just open your mouth and it comes out. And that's the way I feel about it.
We're about to let our listeners hear some of Billy Lee's music. It's coming off his compact disc, Shade Tree Blues. The tune is entitled Hard Times, Repossession Blues. And we're going to come back and spend some more time with Billy Lee. But we want you to take a little listen to this tune. We'll be right back.
Thank you. got my television. Now they're coming for my radio. Yeah, they got my television. Coming now for my low battery radio. They don't like the way I'm doing. Say I pay my bill too slow. I paid $300 down, bought me a brand new automobile. Myself a baby blue Bel Air. The bank come out this morning. Now I gotta walk everywhere. Oh man, I got problems.
Music from Billy Lee Riley off the compact disc Shade Tree Blues. Very beautiful tune entitled Hard Times Repossession Blues. I'm Bob Franklin. The program you're listening to is Like It Is, a radio public affairs presentation. My guest today is Billy Lee Riley. Just finished that tune. What did you think of that tune, Billy?
Well, I tell you, it brings back a lot of memories of growing up, Bob, and That's just the way it was back in those days. It was hard times, and of course, like you said, I was born right after the Great Depression, and there was those that had a little and those that didn't have anything, and we were the ones that didn't have anything.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. You as you related in the first segment, the integration that you went that you were exposed to at a very very early age, and how you learned a great deal from these black families who were on these plantations. I think you mentioned that there were like 43 families and only three right. were white and the rest black. Right. Tell a story about Leon Carter, I believe, and his influences on you.
Oh, Leon was a great guy. I tell you, he was an old fella. They called him Lightning. And the reason they called him Lightning is because back in the old days when we were farming, we farmed with mules. We didn't have tractors and all this. And usually when we were coming in from after a day's work, we would ride one mule and lead the other mule. Well, this particular day it was coming up a cloud and it looked like it was going to storm. So everybody was leaving the fields. And of course, Lightning, he was a young guy at that time. This was before I knew him. It was before my time. And he was leading his own mule. He was riding one old mule and leading the other. And then the Lightning struck one of them and it went through and hit him and knocked him off of his mule. And it almost killed him. So they took him to the doctor for a city. And the doctor told his family, said, you know, he's lucky to be alive. But old Carter said later, he said, wasn't no luck to it. He said, that's a miracle of the Lord. Said, you know, said, I had to stay around and teach you boys how to play the blues. He said, that's why I'm still here. And he played a guitar and harmonica, and he was just absolutely awesome, you know. I mean, he was just his soul. When he would sit down and pick that guitar and blow that harp, everybody would just stop. They would stop and listen because, man, Carter was teaching us a little story right there. You know, he was teaching us.
Now, you take this experience of the Delta, Arkansas, and you take it overseas. Tell us about, first of all, why go overseas and what type of exposure and experience did you receive once you got there?
Well, actually, the main reason we go overseas is because work is more plentiful over there. And the blues and the early music is more popular over there than it is here. And the reason it is because over here you have all the big fat cats that are worried about money and how to make money off the artists, and it's all in marketing. Over there, it's the love of the music. And when we go over there, we never play for an empty house. It's always a full standing room only crowd. And they love the music, and they treat us like royalty over there, you know. Over here, it's a little different, you know. People have had everything over here, and they're just not as appreciative of music as they are over there.
Have you learned lessons from your early experiences with the blues and other musical formats that you maybe follow today?
I tell you, the greatest thing I learned growing up is that a man is a man. I don't care what color he is. We were raised, my father and my mother taught us that a man is a man, and that's the way he should be treated. And that's the way we were raised, and that's the way I believe today, and that's the way I've always believed, because my friends back then, there was no segregation. We didn't see color. There was no color barrier. We were just friends, and that was it, man. I eat at their table. They ate at my table, and we were played together as children, and we were just like, it's the way it's supposed to be today, you know. But, you know, again, you got these people that rather have problems than peace, you know, and I really can't relate to them people.
Well, you and some of the individuals that you were commingling and mixing with at that time, you all were pretty much ahead of the curve, because I guess the stereotypical perception that you get of the South is that none of this integration, none of this intermingling was occurring, and that it was just basically, and to a certain extent, it was staunch segregation in some quarters. But here you tell a beautiful story of a situation where people were living and respecting each other as individuals and as people.
See, that's exactly the way I was raised, but we still had that problem. But it wasn't within us. It was like the higher class people, downtown people, they would never come to our side of the town, not because of the black people or the poor white people. It's just because they were better than all of us. You know, we were the low class.
So it had a lot to do with economics.
Economics was what it really was now. And as a matter of fact, I was in Osceola not too long ago filming a documentary there for the University of Arkansas. And I talked with a historian there. And she didn't know who I was. She didn't know where I'd lived. And I got to talking to her about Red Row. I said, is there any way that you have some pictures of the old Red Row? Because I was planning to do a book. And she said, no. She said, we never did go down in that part of the town because, you know, we didn't want to associate with them people down there. And my wife looked at her and said, well, you're associating with one now because Billy was born and was raised down there. Said, and you see, you don't have to stay in a place like that. You can come out of it. So,
very nice.
But they just didn't like any of us because, like you said, economics, we just wasn't good enough for them.
Do you also think it's just miseducation? And when you don't experience something, then you can always have doubts about it.
Well, I think that education has a lot to do with it. Now, myself, I never had too much formal education.
I guess when I say education, I don't mean it in the sense of going to school. I'm saying if you don't associate with individuals and you see them from a distance, then you can actually believe whatever stereotype you want.
If you want to have a closed mind, you know, you can have a closed mind. But if we would open our minds a little more, we would see that we really have a beautiful world. And we have beautiful people in this world. But the other people is causing all of the ugliness in this world. It's not the people like us down here that's trying hard to do what's right. It's the people, it's some other people. I don't even know who they are, but it's hard to explain. But I think you understand what I'm saying.
I do, and I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast a hoodoo spell on those folk, and which introduces the next tune, Hoodoo Woman Blues. It's by my guest, Billy Lee Riley, off his compact disc, Shade Tree Blues. We're going to come back after that tune and spend our remaining moments with Billy Lee Riley.
She lived way down by the railroad track. I know a hoodoo woman. She lived way down by the railroad track. I'm going down there to see her. Maybe she can get my baby back. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look here.
As we run toward the end of our program, music from Billy Lee Riley. It's entitled Hoodoo Woman Blues. Billy Lee, you've lived an interesting life growing up. And, you know, most people who see movies about the Old South or the New South, they see life on the plantation, and they oftentimes only see it maybe from the black perspective. But you live side by side and work side by side with blacks, and you weren't treated any better than they were.
No, it was, Bob. Like you said, what they see is through the eyes of a movie camera. What I saw was through the eyes of a person that was living it. And believe me, I saw some terrible times raised up and growing up out in the country, out on those farms.
Very little discrimination between black and white if you were living on the plantation.
A lot of people would say, yeah, you know, they treated the black a little bit worse than they did the white, even on the farm. But now, in my, where we lived, there was no whatever they did to one, they did to the other. All we were there for was to make the man money. And if we didn't make the man money, then he didn't want us.
And if you borrowed money, it was very difficult to ever square it up.
You never paid it back. You never paid. The only way we got away from that farm is my dad said, I'm fed up with it. We're leaving, and we walked out.
Very interesting discussion with Billy Lee Riley. He is an outstanding blues performer. We played segments off his compact disc, Shade Tree Blues. Billy Lee, I'm going to have to try to get you back on the program. Thank you very much
for
spending time.
My pleasure, and I hope you do get me back because we got a lot to talk about yet.
Absolutely. We just scraped the surface. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
I don't know. Well, I just don't know who in the world that keep on with me so. Well, I call my baby up on the phone. I didn't get no answer. She was.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.